Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your hosts, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Today's episode is supported by Turtles Bar and Grill in downtown Shakopee, known for having the Southwest Metro's best selection of local craft beer. Follow Turtles Bar and Grill on Facebook or Twitter, or visit turtlesbarandgrill.com to stay aware of tap takeovers and other events showcasing the best beer from your favorite breweries. Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of On Tap with Corey and Ira, where we explore Southern Minnesota breweries and beer and bring all that fun content to you. I'm one half your co-host, Corey Butler.
And I'm the other half, Ira Carlson.
And we're pleased that you could join us today. We've got a great show coming up. Ira, as you do every show, what's coming up?
Oh, yeah, we got a fun one coming up here today. Of course, we are recording this right now before we head up that way. We're heading up to the Shakopee Brew Hall. We're coming up there at the end of kind of a week long of multiple beer releases, including a special one today. They've been holding off on it until we get there, hopefully, anyways. It's a whiskey barrel aged smoked beer in partnership with the Mr. Pig stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Pig stuff, catering company and stuff. So it's going to be really kind of interesting. They're also going to be there with some of their food as well. Mr. Pig stuff. So we're looking forward to getting up there and getting on the road and talking to them up there. And then of course we've got Andrew in with a style of the week and a couple of beers of the week coming to us from Firehouse Liquor.
Yeah. They stuck some of their beer in a barrel the first time they've done it. So that's kind of a big deal. And, you know, today's kind of a big day for Shakopee Brew Hall for taking that big step. A lot of people are digging barrel-aged beers right now, and it's cool that they're doing that. And like you said, it's been a week-long quest of delivering new beers to their consumers. So I'm sure we'll get to sample a few of those once we head up there. Hopefully we do, because otherwise we're going to look silly talking about it right now. No, I'm sure Ryan and Ben and the gang there will take care of us, and you guys should stick around for that conversation because I'm sure it's a fun one. We had them on the show before, so they are on for the second time. This time we're going to their hometown, and instead of them coming to visit us here in Northfield, here at 95.1 FM. Speaking of 95.1 FM, if you're listening to us live, we thank you for listening to us there. If you're listening to us on podcast, we also thank you for doing that. You can find us online at ontapnorthfield.com. You can find our previous 34 shows. I can't believe really that we're at 35 now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. When we first started out, I think I was surprised when we got to 10, you know? And then finding 35 shows with all the breweries in Southern Minnesota, it's and there's still more to talk to.
Definitely. So. They never said we make it, but here we are.
Yeah.
And, it helps that new breweries open every so often, and especially in Southern Minnesota where we focus. And obviously we've expanded beyond breweries. We've had distilleries on. We've had wineries. We've had cideries, all our fermentation friends. So you can find all 34 of those shows on ontapnorthfield.com. You can also find them on podcast platforms like iTunes, Player FM, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as we discussed last episode. So basically anywhere you listen to any kind of audio content, you should be able to find us. And if you can't, just go to our website. That's easy. Other websites that are important as they relate to us are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We post a number of things on there, including show links and photos and videos, and maybe we'll do one today even. So if you listen to us on June 9th, we record this June 2nd. Go back and look what we posted, because now I'm committing us to doing a video before we head out to Shakopee. On Tap Northfield, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and On Tap with Corey and Ira on Instagram. And I think that just about covers it, so stick around.
But wait, there's a little bit more fun to talk about here. I'm going to be a bit of a self-promoter here, and being the Dundas guy, I got to represent and have a little conversation about it. But when we're recording this, it's the release day, but by the time you hear this, this will be On Tap both at Chapel Brewing in Dundas, so, and of course down at my little favorite spot down the road from there at the Dundas Ballpark. Chapel is brewing and releasing their short hop beer, which is going to be a beer of low enough alcohol content that the Dundas Dukes can sell with their 3-2 license, but at the same time it's supposed to be a really hoppy, full-flavored, fun beer. And so it's getting tapped, and it will be available not only at the brewery, but also down at the ballpark. So
that's, I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, it's I don't know of any other breweries that have done that, at least with the local ball teams and stuff in the town baseball realm. So it's kind of a big step forward for us, and we're really looking forward to it. So
yeah, it's not really homerism. It's something worth noting, because one, it's local, and two, it's something we haven't seen before, at least that something we haven't seen before. If it's been done elsewhere, We're just not aware of it.
Yep.
And something you actually had a hand in, right? This is something you talked to Andrew back a year ago. And again, Andrew's involved in the show. He does our Style of the Week. So it's an A++++ for everyone right here.
Yeah, it's been talked about for a while. It was talked about over the winter time, and we were talking to him and also to the city to make sure that we were going to be, you know, following in line of that everything was, you know, legit and we could do it. And so it'll be on tap both at the tap room at Chapel and also down at the ballpark all summer long. So we're really looking forward to it. And it'll be the very first tap beer that we've ever served down at the ballpark as well. So normally we're just in cans. And so this will be kind of a fun way to expand what we give those people. And they're coming out to watch a Dukes game.
Now you just got to transition your advocacy to the Capitol so we can have bigger beers allowed at ballparks. It's going to be on that 3-2 stigma, right?
Well, I think that's more – that's actually a discussion we should have at some point because 3-2 is really only still around because there are certain states that require it. But I think it's down to 3. Oklahoma's leaving that, and they were the biggest consumer of 3-2 beer. So it's going down to the point that the breweries are saying, you know, at least big beer is saying they're not going to be brewing 3-2 beer anymore. So if Budweiser and Miller get out of the 3-2 market, they're going to basically force those remaining couple states to go that way. And if we, you know, at which point it changes the licensing for a lot of, you know, places that do a 3-2 license.
Yeah, a lot of small towns will definitely be affected by that. I know there's not that many 3-2 bars left, but there's a lot of functions where that's the only allowed alcohol consumption. So it definitely is something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, and in our case, it's really comes down to the length of the time that we actually are going to be serving stuff. So it's about 3, maybe 4 months of the year. So a full license is a lot more expensive at that rate. And so a reduced license fee, it's a little easier from a training standpoint and everything else. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes along.
Well, we'll have to get down there. I'm sure you've already had a sample of it. I have not yet.
I have not yet. So I'm looking forward to it.
Sure, by the time this airs, you'll have a pint or two.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I won't be far behind.
Yep.
At least it gives me a reason to go see the Dukes play, right? Other than the great announcing.
Of course.
All right, stick around.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is coming out of St. Paul, St. Paul's Flat Earth Brewery. It's their Beer de Garde Avni Ale. So if you haven't been up there, before we even get into the beer, it's a very interesting space. They're actually in the old Hams Brewery up in St. Paul. And when you get in there, it's kind of a weird space. It kind of meanders through the building in different directions. And then also
weird good, though, you mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in a good way. But it's a definitely a spot where you pull in and you're not quite sure what's going on. And then you get into a back room where there's another bar. And then there's a really crazy patio space, which... saw the other night, they play some live music and other stuff out there. So really fun place. But
the space, yeah, the space just oozes character. I
mean, oh, yeah.
Like you said, it's the old Hams Brewery. It's got a lot of character, a lot of history. The whole complex, they're only in a portion of that big complex. So first time visiting there, you get kind of confused on exactly where you need to go. But once you've been there, you know you want to go back because it's got a great view and just character throughout the building.
Well, and I would say the same thing about their beers. Their beers are generally just got some interesting flavors. They don't take the easy road on a lot of their beers. They're kind of like spicy and different. And this one is right along that lines. I'm really enjoying this. It's got just enough of a little bit of hop flavor to it. But it kind of, it's just a really good tasting beer. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a farmhouse style with the Beer de Garde. So it's a little dry in the back. It's a perfect beer for this warmer weather, spring and the summer. It's a little bit cool today on June 2, but hopefully by June 9, this airs, it's going to be a nice refreshing beer for people to go down the Firehouse Liquor to pick up. It's a great summer beer. I definitely get behind this.
Yeah, it comes in at 7.1. Just a little bit of a sweetness to it. So really fun beer.
Yeah, and their cans definitely stand out. They did bottles for a long time. They've actually been around for a number of years. One of the earlier breweries in the state that have had distribution here in this last push in the last 10, 15 years. You know, they've got a lot of alien-oriented art, so a lot of those stick out. It's kind of cool. You know, they've got galaxies and worlds. And we've actually had some beer samples of theirs early on our run, I think. Maybe about a year ago, we had some of their beers on. I can't remember if we had Avni Ale. There's a good chance we did, but we're revisiting it, and I think we both give it a thumbs up. And it's always nice to have Minnesota representation in this segment of the show. We've got another Minnesota beer here. We've also had some of their beer on, but this is a new one from them. I think it was last fall. I had driven up to St. Cloud area and brought home some Beaver Island Brewing beer. We have one of their newer beers in distribution here. It's Tribute Session IPA. So the can describes it as having bold Amarillo, Mosaic, and Citra hops hit all the right notes for a jam session IPA that salutes Minnesota's fabulous bands. And true to its name, as a session IPA, comes at 4.7 ABV, so not quite low as a, you know, a 3.2 type beer, but definitely more sessionable for an IPA style. We've had a number of these on the show now, and we've talked about them kind of at length. You know, some A of Us One, we had one from Ben Paddle, and it's really nice to see Minnesota breweries approach this style and actually, I think, execute it well, because when I've had some maybe more regional, national session IPAs, there's a bit of a hop flavor there, but not much else behind it. It seems to be lacking in a lot of cases. That is not the case with this beer. I mean, I commend them. I commend Summit and Ben Paddle. They seem to be on something with these recipes, and maybe it's just who knows how many batches they had to make before they found the recipe they wanted. There's a good chance maybe this was recipe number one. It just turned out. But this is full of flavor, which is what you usually lack when it's a session IPA. So I like it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's got a big, bold kind of a, I wouldn't say bold, but it's got a big pine taste right at the beginning, but it finishes really nice and smooth.
I'd say that's the Mosaic and the Amarillo coming through on there then.
Yeah, it's just a really nice, tasty beer, and definitely for this time of year, perfect for sitting outside and enjoying.
More than one.
Of course.
To boot. And where can you pick these up when you want to go get them?
If you want to try either one of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about at previous shows, they can be conveniently found at Firehouse Liquor in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck. All right, we're coming on site from our friends at Shakopee Brew Hall in beautiful downtown Shakopee. We got Ryan and Ben sitting across me in the very busy tap room here on a Saturday afternoon. It's about 2:30, and it's a packed house. Well done on that, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Corey and Ira. I appreciate you guys coming down. It's funny. I don't know how I came across that picture when Ben and I went down to your guys' place, and it brought back a lot of memories over the last 8 months. So it's great to see you guys again, and thanks for being here.
Not quite as controlled in this environment, though, is it?
Well, we're making the rounds now. This is episode number 35, so we're now going back to some of our favorites. Not to say that people who haven't been on the show yet aren't favorites, but I like the wink. That's good. But you were actually, I think when I record that first show, like, so when you want to have us on again? ever the pitch man, right? So you're ready to go. And so we talked about that last in October when you guys were on the show, and obviously we're happy to come pay you guys a visit. You guys came to the KYMN radio studios in Northfield before, and here we are on site. And it's a busy week. You had 4/5 beer releases. I don't know how you want to coin the pin release today. I guess it's a brand new beer. You have a base beer that you're adding to, but we'll get into that because it's kind of a fun week. Ben and I were talking beforehand that you have a lot of breweries that release a beer or two a week, some that, you know, maybe it's every other week. It just depends on the schedule and all that stuff. You guys positioned yourselves this week where you had 4 or 5 beer releases. Yeah. It's a big, busy week. We talked about, okay, were you really stressed out 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Figuring out, okay, we got this date in mind where we're kind of working toward.
Yep.
And especially with the diversity of beers. And I want to break through those beers, but tell me about the planning process to get all that in place, how much influence Ryan had, and where this might evolve in the future, maybe next year.
Sure. Well, I mean, we benefit from having a setup here where, you know, given enough time, it's relatively easy enough to keep, you know, certain types of beers on tap while at the same time making room for others. You know, we mostly serve out of serving tanks, and so with the flexibility of also putting a few beers on, you know, keg lines, traditional keg lines, and so with enough heads up, those keg lines can be really pushed hard, and those serving tanks, those bright tanks can, you know, sit a little empty so that we can plan for things like this week. And so it's been pretty fun to, you know, go back, you know, eight weeks ago, it seems like a long time ago, but, you know, at the time when we really started talking about that, it was like, that's totally doable. Just tell me what we want to do right now, and it's going to be ready for you. So,
and for listeners who missed your show back in October, how big of a system are you guys brewing on?
So we're brewing on a 7-barrel system. It's a system, a DME system out of Canada. But what's kind of fun about the way we are set up, instead of just having bright tanks that then go to kegs and, you know, everything, you know, kegs go onto the lines, we actually have kind of like a brew pub setup. Everything is in bright tanks. So we have actual serving tanks that the beer is being served out of. So instead of having one or two bright tanks, I've got 9. And then I've got some independent lines that allow me to do a little bit of flexibility as well. But having 9 bright tanks really allows me to kind of plan, you know, many, many weeks, if not months in advance, to where we want things to be. So,
well, tell me about that planning process. So you have the state in mind. I mean, how does that process start? I mean, obviously you have to talk about, we want to shoot for this type of beer, this type of style. And then you have to figure out what that recipe is.
Right.
And then you have to figure out, okay, do we have the right ingredients? How do we acquire those ingredients? And when do I set down for a brew day to knock out these 2 beers and do these next 2 beers and then do that other beer? Oh, how's that all come together?
Trust me, it's every Monday Ryan and I are arguing over over this very topic.
You just don't throw a bunch of crap in and hope it turns out, right?
No, I mean, it's a lot of planning. It's not that. I mean, I would, you know, I'd rarely try to pat myself on the back, but I do think that the experience I've had in the past is, you know, working with the Herkimer and some other breweries has been, you know, giving me the insight to say, okay, when we plan brew days, we're not planning them a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance. We are thinking about what's open. We are thinking about yeast that's available. We're thinking about, you know, what needs to be supplied. You know, example being, you know, we supply a few bars and restaurants around the community here. You know, if we know that they want a certain type of beer, I want to make sure that that beer is always on. And so do I forego a beer that might be fun to make, a one-off, because we have to make a redundancy beer to make sure that that beer is always, you know, ready to go, even if it means it's taking up space for, you know, a couple weeks in the back, just to know that I have it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm having another flashback to 8 months ago. I think when we met last, I called Damon, Ben, and I kind of a three-legged stool.
Sounds about right.
And there's still so much truth to that. And that's not dismissing, you know, the beer serving team and what Rich and the team bring, Dustin and Lindsay and company. But when we meet every Monday and talk about kind of the beer schedule, kind of like what's coming up, I don't think that I did not fully appreciate the, you know, being mindful of yeast. You know, well, okay, I want to brew something, you know, I've got Ryan has this great idea to brew X. And Ben has to be the wet blanket that says you can't.
This living organism has its own life.
Yeah, right? But at the same time, as we look at our flagships, you know, for the most part, I think we've done, you know, I'm not celebrating this, but for the most part, we've got about 10 beers on tap. And, you know, we'll bump up to 12 on occasion, maybe 13. But, you know, we're juggling about 5 flagships right now. And so that means then that, you know, Ben was talking about, you know, supporting our distribution partners, as well as our loyal customers, making sure that we're adhering to those 4 to 5 beers, as well as trying to, you know, shoehorn in a one-off every now and then. And that's where it's been really consultative, the value that Ben's brought to the brew hall as it relates to just kind of the oversight of brewery management. There's no way that I would have been able to do it without him. I think another advantage I would just say, in addition to, you know, Ben's planning and schedule, is it's awfully nice to have RAR just a short 4 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. Because
then we can, if we've got no crap moment, we can just go, go load up the Suburban with some grain and we can rock and roll. So
yeah. Sherry over at RAR is my best friend. So.
Yeah, if that yeast strain's ready, we can pretty much do anything that, you know, we want to do. And so it's cool.
So you said you usually have 10 or 12 beers on. What's your capacity? Could you have 14, 16?
If we are running full, I could have up to 14 on.
Okay.
You know, we've got a nitro line. We actually serve kombucha. We've played around with the idea of having nitro coffee on as well, but I can have 14 going at any given time. And I mean, the reason that we don't is simply because, you know, you get a bright tank that's running low, you keg that off, you put it on an independent line. Now that bright tank has a new beer in it, it's got a carb, it's got a clarify, it just can't be on yet. And so it's very rare to have everything running all at once.
No, I love it. I mean, there's different strokes for different folks. There's places that serve 4 beers all the time and they do a great job. There's places that have 24 taps, there's bars that have 100 taps.
Yep.
You have to fit what works for you, and I think obviously what you guys are doing has worked for what your schedule is, for what your capacity is.
It's been a blast. I mean, you know, again, this is, you know, the benefits of conversations like this is that it kind of reminds you of just kind of like where we've gone. And when we opened up our doors, we opened with 5 beers, and you know, not that we weren't going to flatline at 5, but it has it's certainly been a treat as we've grown and adapted.
Well, we're pleased to be your digital journal. You know, we got to play a role in your life somehow, right, Ryan? Well, let's talk about the beer. This is, like I said, a big week. On Tuesday, you guys released the Banana Hammock. Did I say that right? Yeah, the Banana Hammock. It's a Wiesenbach. Where'd that recipe come from? Why that beer?
So this is...
And tell me about the picture that came with it on Facebook.
He's going to have to tell you about the picture. I can't help you with that one.
All I know, there's a girl involved. Wait, I'm sorry, American girl involved. No, we'll get to that.
No, Weizenbach really originated from, you know, we always want to keep
and thanks
many...
for correcting me and saying it correct. Weizenbach.
No,
I'm American.
Sorry.
Weizenbach.
No.
Sorry. You wanted
not
to...
Not to deep it in. I'm sorry.
No, no. Snob. You know,
it originated from, you know, we always are trying to keep as many customers happy as we can. I mean, that's we live and die by the customers. And, you know, we always want to have for the customers that, you know, base their experience on high alcohol beers, right? They want to have that option. Well, I always want to give you that option. And so we were at a point in the brewing schedule where, you know, high alcohol beers are very often one-off beers. You know, you very rarely see repeatable things. I mean, you just because of aging, just because, you know, of how difficult sometimes they are to make and produce that kind of alcohol. And so it was at that point in the brewing schedule where we wanted to have a high alcohol beer to come up. I've always wanted to make this style of beer. And so kind of digging down and thinking, how can we use what we have in-house, you know, yeast-wise, to produce something like this? And, you know, nothing ever goes perfectly. I think I love this beer. I really do. But the amount of banana that came out of that yeast was even took me by surprise. And so, you know, I thought this was going to be a little bit maltier beer than when it initially came out. And that yeast just was too hungry. It just kept eating and kept eating. And so, and in doing so, just kept putting off that banana flavor. And so I love it.
It's quite good.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. In fact, funny part is I wasn't noticing the heat to it. I mean, it's just a really fun, you know, enjoyable beer. And then you started talking about the ABV, and I looked down. I'm like, oh, 9.2. I was not feeling that or tasting that. So hats off on that one.
Yeah, it's always fun when you have a customer that, you know, I was here last week, and I had this, and I had two or three times, and then I stood up.
After a couple, you might need to lay in the hammock. Yeah, is the end here?
Well, is there Uber in Shakopee?
I think it's Lyft at least down here. Yeah.
All right. So the banana hammock was cool. I think it's a great beer, and I'll try to minimize redundancy, but I'm all on board with it. Bennett explained as it relates to the creation and what it is. You know, beer names have been a source of love and contention here at the brew hall. And
that some of us don't participate anymore.
You know, count me out.
But, you know, end of the day, I had a taste of this beer, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of banana in here. And by the way, we were, you know, just turning all of a sudden, we went from snow on the ground 6 weeks ago to 90-degree days. And I had this vision of drinking a high ABV beer, you know, just kind of sitting up on the deck, relaxing, wind blowing, you know. And all of a sudden, I guess hammock came to mind. And I was like,
are you suntanning
hammock.
When you do this?
What's that?
Are you suntanning when you do this?
No, not
I'm trying to think how this name came together still.
No, it's just... But
we're
no,
learning
just
a lot about you today.
But no, I was like, what an amazing innuendo. I just thought it was really fun. And that's it. And so people get a kick out of it. And I mean, what better can you say when you go up to the beer server here at the brew hall and say, I'll take a banana hammock. So,
and that was your brainchild that came out on Facebook earlier this week with the image, with the actual banana in the actual hammock?
Yeah, well, and so there again. I mean, it's
are you not busy enough?
I've got nothing to do.
Whoever thought that having kids would be an endless supply of props?
having kids finally paid off.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, so between the... I don't know how it hit me, but somehow I realized that one of my daughters had a hammock for one of their dolls, and so that made its way onto a video. And kudos to Goodwill, I found a Dumbo for the magic feather. So
it's, say kudos to Goodwill, we found a banana. It's like not the first place I'd go. Well, Ben, real quick before we move on, Weizenbach. For those who aren't familiar with the style, can you just cover it quickly, what that actually means, the translation?
Basically, a traditional German-style wheat beer. It's a wheat beer that is brewed to, you know, Doppelbach levels of alcohol.
So bigger.
Bigger beer, yep.
Okay. And the next one we have here is the Magic Feather.
Magic Feather.
So that's a fun name, another fun
for,
name.
For I'm sure all we'll you Disney fans out there, yes.
There you go. And that is a Baltic Porter, but with a peanut butter slant.
I would say it's a pretty good peanut butter slant.
It comes through very nicely.
Yes, it came out really well. You know, again, it was one of those where we definitely wanted to have a dark beer on, and we definitely wanted to have some fun with it. You know, we've done a coffee porter in the past. We've talked about doing a marshmallow, you know, s'mores stout at some point, maybe coming up pretty soon here. And just having a little fun with a dark beer, and, you know, what better than peanut butter? And so, you know, Ryan approached me on one of our infamous, you know, Monday meetings and said, I want peanut butter in a beer. And I might have raised a little bit of, like, question mark, but we went with it. And, you know, man, I got to be honest. I think this was probably a beer I researched ingredients more on than I've ever done before. Just trying to source peanut butter.
Well, it's kind of a trending growing style.
It is.
And there's different approaches on how to incorporate that peanut butter flavor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, do we go with actual peanut butter? Do we go with powders? Do we go with extracts? You know, we decided on powders, found a really great source for that. And, man, this may have to come back. I don't usually like pat myself on the back with a beer, but man, I was really impressed with
what. Well, any listener of this show knows I've been avoiding peanut butter beers for quite a while,
yeah,
because I bought in kind of early. I was drinking like the Horny Goat peanut butter and
yep,
the Afrium peanut butter, and then it kind of blew up locally maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I had so many that I kind of got palate fatigue,
yeah,
from it, so I kind of stayed away for a while. But it's been a good bit since I've had one of these. I like this quite a bit, so
yeah,
well,
yeah,
done on this one.
Well, and what was kind of serendipitous was, you know, this, when we were making this beer, it was right about the time that my dad was you know, vacationing down in Florida, and, you know, he had a Sweet Baby Jesus. I don't know if you know that beer, but apparently it's like the best peanut butter beer in,
yeah,
the country, and he's like telling me about it, and I'm kind of at the same time going, yeah, I've kind of produced the same thing, but you
what's
know,
the
I haven't
brewery?
Told you about it
I
yet.
Know the brewery.
I'm not sure what that is. I have to look.
I can visualize the can.
Yeah.
I feel like I can.
I think you're right.
But it's not something available locally.
No,
not
locally,
yeah,
but you know, you go on and look peanut butter, you know, beer up, and that's usually number one.
It comes
that
up.
I was finding so
in your old Google search.
And this is so good. Bring me back some.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he didn't, by the way.
Son of a bitch.
From a peanut butter standpoint, normally I don't like them just because a lot of times they come in too sweet.
Yeah.
You know, not like in a Belgian sweet, but just,
yeah,
like a really overly sweetness. And this comes in really more of a subtle, you know, so you get the flavor without being overdone. The porter is a good balance spot with it too, so.
Yeah, and one of the things I was afraid of is, and this is just a testament to, you know, how subjective beer is, I don't typically taste peanut butter when I have peanut butter beers. You know, it's nutty.
Huh.
I certainly taste a nuttiness to it. But would I put my finger on peanut butter? Not always. And so I really wanted to, when I drank, it said, yes, this is a peanut butter beer. And I think we achieved it here. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but today at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
So obviously when people hear this, it'll be a week ago.
A week ago.
So it's probably not available anymore, but I want to make sure we touch on it. you're releasing 5 gallons of your pin release. It's
the
Magic Feather with a little bit more.
Yeah, so we're making a PB&J beer because, you know, why not? Let's have a little fun with it. I started the pin program here just because it's so fun to just make a little bit of something. You know, you're always making these big batches here, and you know, by other brewery standards, I'm actually a pretty small brewery, but, you know, 233 gallons is not something to sneeze at, and, you know, just to have a little bit of fun every now and then. And so we got a peanut butter beer. Why not see what we can do? So I found some really fun uses of raspberry, and hopefully this... Everyone else agrees that it tastes like a PB&J sandwich. So.
Good choice. I'm more of a raspberry than a grape guy anyway.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The beer. So why'd you choose on raspberry then? Over a grape or orange or marmalade?
This is one of those just selfish reasons I wanted to put raspberry into it. You know, it was just that's a flavor that I thought would go really well.
So I'm assuming by now you've had plenty of taste of it, so you know how it's going to set.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have not yet had it. We will have it before we walk out the
yes,
door. But
yes.
I'm assuming it's dynamite, right?
This is always kind of the fun part. Yeah, these pins are always fun because there is a little bit of a cross your fingers moment to them.
Well, subjective, right?
Right. No, but yeah. On the taste testing samples that we were doing, it was coming out really good. So,
well, you know, I don't know when we started our very first pin, and again, I think for me, I guess I just kind of to define a pin, what a pin is to the customer base is.
Yeah,
it's a. Naturally, or not? I mean, it's carbonated with sugar.
It's an English style, you know, so barrel fermented.
So it's not. I guess what I typically say is that it's not carbonated the way Americans like it, and it's not temperature wise the way Americans like it. And so, if you're comfortable with a little bit of that, you know, the English presentation, because that's oftentimes what we find with our pins is that people like the flavor, but where's the carbonation? It feels flat. Well, it's in. You know, so that's, I think. Educating is something, and again, coming back to our conversation from 8 months ago.
Yeah,
you know, Ben wanted and continues to want to give Shakopee and anybody that comes in here an opportunity to taste them, just an array of beers. And I think we've succeeded in some of that, but it's always interesting. And I love her to death, but my wife is always one where I don't think pins just aren't in her wheelhouse, and that's actually where we started. We picked up a few infusion kegs now, where we actually had our first lime infused beer, and so that's the way, as I casually say, Americans like it. It's cold and it's carbonated.
Cinco de Chaco.
It's Cinco de Chaco with lime.
And now we know what it is, but we haven't had anyone talk about an infusion keg in a while. So why don't you tell the listeners what an infusion keg is?
Sure. So, I mean, an infusion keg really is just kind of I think we all know what a traditional, keg looks like, 16-gallon roughly. But this is a keg that you can actually take the top of it off, and you can play around with flavor, a lot like what we do with pins and casks and stuff like that. But you can play around with flavors or extracts or whatever. But what's nice about it is you can force carb it, you can serve it on a keg line. You know, you treat it like a normal beer. You don't treat it like a cask, English pulled style of beer. And so it's a little bit more approachable for someone who might rather have a Coors Light or a, in this example, a Cinco Lime made.
Ben, what are the advantages with, utilizing, natural fruit? And are there some benefits on pin versus the infusion keg?
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, the cask is kind of the traditional place to do a lot of that, but natural fruit is in and of itself a little bit difficult because, you think of things like strawberry or, even coconut, not always the easiest flavor to extract, whereas, you get into like infusion things where you can be using extracts and stuff. Again, if you want to do them traditionally or not. Where, you can get a little bit more of that flavor and control it a little bit more. And, the pin, once I pop it to taste test it, it's popped.
Right.
I can't go backward. Whereas the infusion keg, I can get a sample. I can say, well, it needs a little bit more carbonation, or let's pop it open and maybe do something else with it. And
you guys are doing infusions less frequently. I'm more curious about pin. It's not a term I'm familiar with. Is that pretty comparable with cask then, or do they differ?
So I think a lot of people,
because I don't think a lot of people who are listening are probably that familiar with the pin.
So the pin, the cask style of beer, it comes from an English tradition where it is very much naturally carbonated in the vessel.
Right.
Where it is not necessarily room temperature, but kind of that traditional cellar, 55, 50-ish degree, not as carbonated, so not as cold. It has a little bit smaller bubble, so that kind of traditional nitrogen beer that some people like to drink. But what's really fun about them, again, is just their size allows you just kind of play around. And I mean, maybe it's a little flippant on me to kind of think this way, but it's very much often, if it doesn't work, it didn't work. Okay, it was fun. We got
5 gallons. Let's move on.
5 gallons. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And then if it worked really well, then we can turn around and go, okay, well, how do we scale this up? People obviously love this idea. Let's scale this up and think about doing a full batch of beer with this and really like bringing it to what people are asking for. And so that's another thing. It's kind of a taste test. It's a test market kind of a thing where we can go, we really have an idea here where we could go a little bit bigger with this, but I don't want to make the decision for you as the customer. I want you to tell me what you think.
Get feedback, yeah. So the next beer we have here was the Highway 101 IPA, which I know Rich at the bar says it's his favorite IPA you've made.
Yes.
I don't think that is to discredit other IPAs,
no.
But this one has stood out to him. Tell us about Highway 101.
Highway 101 is just a traditional West Coast IPA. You know, it's got the big C's in it. It's got the Centennial. It's got the Cascade. It's, you know, high IBUs, and so it's bitter. You know, it was an early bittering. It's not one of these hazy beers where, you know, the bitterness comes from a late addition. So this is, in a way, a very traditional IPA. You know, a traditional how we, up until about a year ago, kind of understood IPAs.
Till the haze craze.
Haze craze is great, but the haze craze is not, you know, to me, a traditional IPA. And so, you know, I'm still having a hard time as a brewer kind of getting away from, again, the traditional way that I have made IPAs all my life. Then to see these hazy beers, it's a paradigm shift. It's hard to get your head around that. So being given the freedom to kind of make a beer that I, as an IPA drinker, would want to drink is kind of what you see here in this beer. So,
Ryan, your favorite IPA so far?
From the brew hall?
Oh, of course. Well, no, we're not talking about down the street.
No, I guess I wasn't ready for that question, but I guess I would say I've been doing a little bit of side-by-side on Shakopee versus the 101, and right now my bias is still on the Shakopee. I still think, looking as a whole, I really enjoyed the Hankering, which was a dark lager.
Yeah.
I'm just not, IPAs aren't my thing.
Subjective, right?
Yeah,
it's all your flavor.
And, full disclosure, I do like hazies. Just to be open and honest, I've always enjoyed.
Ben, come back. No, I'm joking.
I've always enjoyed, even the Dream Yard, I think, is a great beer.
Yeah.
Badger did the snow days the other day or a month ago, whatever it was.
Like yesterday. Like you said, the snow wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, really? 100 degrees. It's like a light switch.
But no, it's just, like a traditional, I guess, again, the common IPA has just never been really a beer that I will just continuously reach for. I'm more of a brown ale kind of a guy, so call me boring. But
hey, drink whatever you like. That's what I always say.
That's right.
That's what we like to promote on this show. Find what you like and drink it.
Yes.
And speaking
behind
of drinking,
your back, at least, maybe not on here.
Yeah. Speaking of drinking, I'm liking this next one too. It's the special release today, June 2.
Yep.
Hopefully, it should be on by June 9, unless you got a lot of thirsty patrons.
Boy.
Which, good news, bad news kind of deal.
Yep, exactly.
It's the Mr. Roush stuff. It's your collaboration beer. It's a barrel aged whiskey barrel aged beer. Let's talk through that process. How it came together. Who was involved, and what the output is.
So, to be honest, I think they started the conversation way back at the beginning.
They being Mr. Pig Stuff. Folks?
Mr. Pig Stuff, where they approached us and said we'd love to kind of like work with you on something.
Yeah, I mean, it really started with, handshakes and smiles where, really I guess my version would be that we went to them. I've got a lot of confidence in Ben's creativity. And one of the things that came up was, smoked beer.
Two guys.
And what's that?
One guy, then I said, yeah, I like it too.
Okay. But no, we were just, chatting with him, and I kept on telling him, I was like, we're going to, when we opened, we were dialed in on, the five beers. And so we were opening, and I kept going over to them just saying, just give us time, give us time, give us time. And we finally just bought a, handful of bags of grain. They threw it in their smoker, and they did it. Extremely well received. Mr. Pig's Up, just great people. Independent business owners, just super folks, and I couldn't say enough good things about them. Through the arrangement, we had their beer here, and if you recall back that last Saturday of January, we had a winter luau. That idea purely came from Rich, where we had the full pig spread, which I still just. I'm not going to say I have nightmares about, but it wasn't my thing.
It looked awesome.
But it tasted great. But no, the whole presentation.
It's smiling at me. Yeah. The old Christmas story.
It had a lei in a hoop skirt.
Yeah. But that was cool. And then they had a handful of quarters, and they just blew through it. It's so complimentary to kind of like what their food was. And so we've got more things in the hopper that we're targeting. But really engaged folks in the product that they build. And just having a relationship with somebody where they can deviate and help facilitate and build a beer. It's just, yeah. I think it's top notch. It's but, totally
you know,
awesome.
But what was kind of also fun about that, though, is, you know, before all that release happened, you know, what we lucked into with this building is that we have what I would call a traditional cellar. I mean, this the front part of this building is, what, 180 years old?
Yeah, it was built in 1856 is the front third of this building, the facade.
Wow.
And so, you know, there is a, you know, a stone cellar down there. It's actually hemispherical. It's got two different rooms. And so I've kind of designated one of the rooms as a barrel room down there. And it's perfectly 52 degrees down there. And so, you know, right about the time that we were deciding, let's finish up this beer and get it ready to go on tap, we also said, well, we've got a barrel down there, and I think it would work really well with the smokiness that this beer is showing. So
a barrel, one, right? So this
So
it's pretty limited. So if people
this is a pretty limited one right
they
now.
They should probably get here pretty soon in case goes in that first week.
Yeah, again, I mean, being eight months old, you know, we're still trying to find our voice regarding things like
sure.
these one-off beers. And so, yeah, but put it in this barrel, you know, 55 gallons into a, I'm trying to think of who the original, it was a whiskey barrel. I want to say
it was Wild Turkey.
It might have been Wild Turkey. I think you're right. Put it in that barrel. It's been sitting there since, you know, late December. And, you know, been doing taste tests on it and finally said, you know, this is going to be perfect. Because we've got a couple other beers down there. And when the idea of this week kind of solidified 2 months ago and we were doing some taste tests, this was going to be the perfect one. It was going to be ready just on time. And so what's kind of fun about it, if any of anyone out there who's listening had been in to try that Rausch stuff, the original one, what's kind of fun about this one is it is much rounder. And so, you know, that smoky, I don't want to call it, like, harsh, because it certainly wasn't harsh, but kind of that smokiness has been rounded quite a bit. And so a little bit of the sweetness from that, the smoking process is coming out a little bit more. You really kind of taste that.
I'd say it's Vienna aggressive malt. With, like, smooth edges.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of sweetness. There's definitely a lot of smokiness stuff. But it's not as in-your-face smoky as it was that first
It's definitely palatable.
Release. Yeah.
I think this is a good, for those who are maybe a little leery of smoke beers or aren't bought in, I think this is a good segue into it.
Yeah.
I think it'll satisfy those who like smoke beers, but I think for those who are maybe apprehensive, it's not going to offend them in any way.
No.
So I think it's a nicely done beer.
If you like a good, you know, a full body, well, medium-bodied lager, you know, a Vienna, a Oktoberfest, you know, if you're kind of in that camp, I think you really enjoy this
and
beer.
For sitting in that barrel, it's not that big either. It's only coming at 6.2 ABV.
6.2.
So pretty palatable.
And to be honest, it's probably a little bit bigger having sat in that barrel, but a little bit of evaporation. But, yeah, it's not a big beer.
With the smokiness, I'm actually picking up, because they smoked it within what they normally smoke pigs and everything else in, I'm almost picking up some of that flavor too. Like, you know, like just that smokiness that's in that box is coming through in the grains, and I'm kind of digging it.
To borrow a wine term, it's the terroir of the smokehouse, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I, you know, kind of rehashing something off air, I still love the word that a customer used, the word that they said the beer tasted very meaty. And I know it's not a word that Ben would necessarily rubber stamp, but.
Or ever.
Very banana hammocky.
Okay, there you go. I do wish, in hindsight, I wish we had some of the original to have it side by side.
Yeah.
And just to have, give customers an opportunity to say, you know, taste both sides.
Yeah. No.
You know, one thing I see looking up and down the menu that I haven't seen anywhere else, and I'm looking at you both intently looking at me right now, is calories. I've never seen calories listed at a brewery before. Tell me about that. I'm really curious.
You can thank Ryan for that one.
Really?
We use a service called Untappd. I'm sure most people out there
most beer drinkers are on now. Yeah. Yep.
And as a business, we have access to kind of a special version of Untappd. And Untappd, I always laugh at the calories because, you know, the website actually produces that. It's not like we've sent it out to a lab.
That's how I was curious. Like, how does this get formulated?
Yeah, exactly. Somehow they have some algorithm that produces that calorie count.
Well, good for them.
And yeah, it's kind of
pseudoscience.
I don't know.
In some respect.
I don't know, because I got to admit, I mean, there are some times where I'll look at a beer and go, yeah, I mean, it has that ABV, but knowing what's still in that beer that didn't ferment out, there's more, less, or whatever calories than what you probably...
I don't know, as a guy that watches my waistband, I don't know if I want to see the calorie count of some of my favorite beers.
Hey, quit educating us. There you go. We want to drink without any guilt. So let's drink. All right, Ryan? Come on. So last time we had you guys on, it was October. You guys had opened in September. So we're 9 months long.
Yep.
9 months on long.
Yep.
I think Mr. Roush beer is getting to me now. No, that's not even the biggest one. What am I talking about? Mr. Roush stuff. I'm sorry.
You just like banana hammock too much.
Well, we were just talking about that off air a little bit, so it's stuck in my mind. The recesses of my brain. 9 months is a long time and a short time at the same time, I'm sure, for both of you. Have things turned out the way you expected them? What are things that you've learned along the way that have improved what you've done? What are things that maybe you course corrected on? It's a big, wide-open question. I'm going to let you go with wherever you want to.
Yeah. Thank you much. You mind if I take it first?
You start.
Stab
you
at this pen? Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge rambler, so I'm going to do my darndest to just be brief. Things are not exactly what I thought they were going to be, but that's not a bad thing.
Sure.
And so it's, I think, you know, I...
Are you saying in October you didn't foresee banana hammock coming?
No, I did not anticipate banana hammock being here. No, it's just, you know, it's been a great ride. It's been very, you know, it's just lot of thinking. It's just it's a lot of work that goes in, and I'm not, you know, it's been a lot of learning in the last 8 to 9 months. What I would say is that. End of the day, you know, customers are going to dictate the success of a business, a venture, and an opportunity. And so, you know, whether it's the events that we have here at the Brew Hall, the beers that customers inquire about, saying it'd be great if, or the serving team, or great ideas that Ben has, the events, the beer, the ambiance, the environment, the exposure, all of that stuff just plays such a critical role. And I'm really proud of what we have. What we have is not what I thought we'd have, but I wouldn't walk away from what we've got by any means. And so I'm really proud of what's been done.
So I'm curious. You say it's not what you thought it would be. So clearly you had a vision for where you're heading. And you never know when you start, right, where you're going to end up, where the compass is going to set. Without getting into too much detail and getting too personal, like, where's that different? And obviously you're on the good side of it, because it seems like we're here, it's 3 o'clock, it's a busy day on a Saturday. Whenever I stop by, whenever I see things on social, you guys are packed to the gills here.
Yeah, no, it's I guess what I would say is that you just can't rest. And so, you know, and to me, it probably sounds a little cliche and obvious, but, you know, again, for those listening, this is from the voice of a business owner and somebody who's got a passion for craft beer. I'm not the brewer, so Ben might have a slight twist on this. But, you know, if I haven't said this on this podcast, it's definitely something I said before, you know, you don't brew beer that you want. You have to brew beer that the customers want. And, you know, the beer that the customers want is by no means a bad thing.
Sure.
But it ends up being a little bit of a deviation on what you think you want to do. And so a lot of times, you know, Damon and I, even before Ben came into the picture, we were brewing Hefeweizens. You know, we were brewing all of this stuff. And they haven't seen a light of day yet. And why is that? Well, I guess it was kind of disappointing that they never made their way onto our chalkboard or our glass yet. But again, customers are going to dictate. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, we're supporting people through our flagships, as well as people, you know, the things that are going to make the curious people come and scratch their head and say, hey, you know, I want to try this new peanut butter porter, for example, that's coming. Or, hey, we've got a new hazy south of the river. Why don't you come down and give it a try? So no, I'm really proud of what we've done. But, you know, again, every day, as cliche as it sounds, ends up being a bit of an empty canvas where you got to adapt and you got to roll. And that's what makes it fun.
Well, Ryan, the reason I asked that question the way I asked is because I wanted to get a roundabout long way to compliment you guys, because I think I see a lot of breweries in the state and beyond our state that are very passive in their approach. They brew beer. They think if we build it, people will come. And you guys are always doing stuff, whether it's via social, when I'm in the tap room, different events. You guys do a lot of stuff to see what's going to work, what's going to resonate with not only our local folks, but what's going to bring people in from beyond the boundaries of Shakopee. So, you know, we talked a little off air about the videos you guys do. They're always fun, right. They're a little entertaining. But even like the beginning of the show, we talked about the five different styles that came out just this week alone. You guys aren't resting on your laurels and saying, okay, we've got five good core beers we started with. Yeah, we're good. We'll stick with that. You continue to push and continue to see where you can improve. So I commend you for that, not only on the beer side, but also the event side. You do different fundraisers. You do different events and partner with different people. So, I mean, that's a kudos to you guys that even in 9 months, you've learned that. And I think to put it the way you put it, you got to keep moving. There's always something else to seek out to see what's going to work.
Well, yeah. And I'd even add in the fact that you're changing up from not just having the standard IPA, nut browns, that kind of thing. You know, you're doing the Weizenbach, the Maibach, the Rausch beer. You know, you're adding some interesting other styles that people may not be aware of.
Education,
and making them
right.
available. But, again, you're up to 14 taps. You have that ability to still give what people need.
Right.
But give people a chance to explore and go a little bit farther.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
No, it's been great. I'm really, again, my thank you to the customers and folks that are interested in the brew hall, as well as those that have never been. You know, come on down. We'd love to get your feedback on the beer, the service, and the environment. Ben, you got any thoughts?
No, I mean, I guess just overall, it's been a, you know, I'm going to look at Ryan as I say this here, because I know he's going to, like, give me this big bleep-eating grin. But, you know, I've had to eat a little bit of humble pie, to be honest with you, when it comes to styles to brew, because, you know, it has been really a learning experience just in terms of, you know, I am used to a certain type of brewing style. You know, I've been accused, air quotes there, of being very European in the way that I brew beer, and just having to learn to kind of get into an adaptive range where, you know, hazy beers are a thing, peanut butter beers are a thing. You know, I would not necessarily have been the first person to come up with that type of beer to have on tap, and yet, you know, like he's, you know, Ryan has said, it's something that, even if it's not specifically dictated to you person to person, or even on like Untappd or Google or anything like that, it's just something that you can see by looking at, you know, Turtles Next Door or being aware of, you know, people online talking about what beers they want to see, and just having to come to terms with, you know, yes, a Weizenbach is something that is fun, and I want to educate you. I want to bring styles that you might not necessarily see every day, but at the same time, you know, if I know that one of the reasons that's going to come in, you're going to come in and try that Weizenbach, is the first beer you're going to have is a peanut butter porter. Well, then I'm going to make you a peanut butter porter, and then I'm going to show you everything else that I can show you. But I guess early on, I thought that having a Grisette, having a Pivo beer, having, I don't know, you know, just a dark lager was going to be enough. And yet, you know, realizing that maybe it's still good. It's, you know, it's still good to have, but having something else to be that hook. And well, then educating everyone.
Well, inspiration,
know.
And market dictates it, and you have to find that cross-section.
Yes.
Yeah, Ben, I think you said it really well, and so thank you for your candor. No, it is interesting. You know, it's just you've got to – it's always fun. I mean, you have to adapt.
So you're saying we should expect, like, a peanut butter beer to guard soon? Yeah. Potentially.
I wouldn't be, you know, I've got that yeast from that peanut butter beer, and the sky's the limit on what's going to happen next.
I mean, you can do anything with peanut butter,
you
right?
You got that right.
But I have one question, and this is actually a perfect time to talk about it. If I remember right from our last discussion,
yes,
you actually came from a background of brewing sake.
I did, yes.
So that's something that we've never talked to anyone else about, and I think I asked you this a little bit before, but have you thought about, you know, with all this collaboration, you're doing the collaboration with Mr. Pig Stuff,
yep,
and all these other things, have you thought about taking what you learned there, doing something with that, and kind of combining that in, especially with that very unique background?
I think about that every week, actually. You know, it sake was something that I learned kind of on the periphery. Like I helped the I learned it at, from the Herkimer. I was the head brewer at the Herkimer, but the owner at the Herkimer, Blake Richardson, also owns Motoe right down the street, and it was at the time the first sake brew pub in the country, not, you know, outside of Japan. and learning under him and learning under his toji, his head brewer, Matt Ace, who's now at Freehouse, actually, was invaluable. Just so fascinating to learn all that stuff. But I was always on the side. I was never the main brewer. And so just trying to implement what I learned into beer was pretty fun while I was there. But, you know, you move on to this new system here where it is not really conducive to, you know, gelatinizing sugars in out of yeast. You know, rice is amazing as a grain because of how hot it has to be to get the sugar out of it, much more than corn or oats or wheat or anything like that. And I just do not have the system right now to be able to do that efficiently. And so every week I'm thinking, okay, what if I try this? Maybe I can do it. And, you know, I can, you know, call up Blake and say, okay, I need 200 pounds of rice, and we're gonna either make a great beer or a big mess. But either way, it's gonna be fun. I don't know.
I sense a pin coming at some point.
Because as we wrap up here, we move towards the close. Because Ira wants to get that PB&J beer. I can see it in his eyes. You know, we're just starting to inch in the summer here. We've got a good 3 months ahead of us. What can people expect from you guys, both in events and also beer? And I know you got something fun opening up upstairs as well.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of things coming up this summer, and we're really excited about it. You know, a couple things that are happening here is the city of Shakopee last year just had Rhythm on the Rails event, which was 6 Wednesdays in a row. Okay,
it's going to be so fun this year too.
Live event, people. That's okay.
So
we're not going to edit that
out. Rhythm on the Rails. What that is that's it was 6 Wednesdays in a row of different bands. And for the life of me, I guess Chris Hockey was here and Martin Zeller. So starting July 18th. Downtown Wednesday nights is going to be fantastic.
Oh,
it's
going
to be alive and awesome. So we've got, what is it?
The Suburbs.
Suburbs, Gear Daddies, 4 on the Floor.
As you said Gear Daddies, I knew to look Ira's way.
Yeah, I've never seen them, so I'm very anxious too.
See the eyebrows raise.
I love them, a little bit of the Gear Daddies, little Martin
Zeller. The Brew Hall's going to have a role in being a part of the communication, the environment there, and so I'm really excited about that. We've got a patio on the back, on the second floor.
Showed me earlier.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I think 2 weeks away, it'll be available to the public. I think within a week, actually right around the time in which this goes live, I'd ask you guys just to keep, you know, following us, checking in, because we're going to have a few soft launches for the patio. I'm excited about continuing to kind of reinvent or give customers some opportunities to come up here, come to the brew hall, check out some things, the beer that Ben's got, the servers we have, and the environment that we aim for. So I'm really excited there. I'll steal a little bit of Ben's thunder. We've got 3 other Lonely Barrels downstairs. I think today was our first barrel release, but we would definitely be having a few more.
So far, so good.
Yeah, So I'm really excited actually for the second one. I'm definitely excited for today, but I'm equally excited for the upcoming. I think we'll start a little bit of a bottling program and get that out for customers to enjoy and take in.
Yeah. Do you know what you're doing with that next barrel yet? I mean, do you have a recipe in mind?
Oh yeah.
Well,
that you're allowed to say to the public.
I get the happy circumstance of actually having 2 different beers I got to think about, because we actually have a couple Cab Sav barrels that I want to do an entire batch just going into those barrels, and so we've got to figure out what we want to do there. But whiskey, man, it's probably gonna be something dark.
PB&J in that cab.
It's very possible.
But the next beer to the customer is gonna be our the Holmes Landing, which was one of our initial 5. Ben made an imperial. We call
Saison,
it Noble Holmes.
Right?
Yep.
So Noble Holmes has been sitting in rum or brandy.
Brandy,
and I think it tastes fantastic. I think it's dare I say. I won't swear, so I'll just say kicks donkey. And it's
kicks derriere. Sophisticated.
It is top notch, and I'm really excited about it. I think that'll probably be mid-July, as we're going
to
roll that one
back.
Out.
Yep. And then I guess, you know, this isn't necessarily at the brew hall, but I mean, we as a brewery will be representing at, you know, Pride Dabbler, we'll be at Summer Dabbler, All Pints North. Getting ready for all those. This is kind of a really hectic season for me as a brewer, because not only we got to worry about in-house, but we got to worry about, you know, the weekends too. All of a sudden are full of
it warms
activities
up and people
and
go
stuff,
places. So. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh crap, I have to produce more beer.
That's right. So
I feel for you. It's so sad that you get to promote your business out drinking beer with a whole bunch of other people. Your life sucks.
At Bayfront Park.
And Bayfront Park. Well, I get to go home. That'll be
guy.
Fun. So yeah.
We'll be there. We were actually debating about talking about that at the beginning of the show, the opening of the show, before our interview with you. Because we'll be there. Yep. We plan to talk with folks, so we'll definitely look you guys up and
awesome.
Chat with
That'd
you.
That'd be great.
We're doing some stuff with the guild this year. Nothing like too formal, but we're credentialed now. We're a big enough deal that we have media passes.
We'll have media passes to be there, so we're excited.
So,
for
you know,
it,
we want to go talk with people. We're going to make a show out of interviews with Southern Minnesota breweries, so we'll definitely put you guys on the list.
Yes.
And chat with you and talk to you. We're hoping that today's show we would have a full list of the breweries involved, but they did not get them out in time. So for next show, we'll have those out there.
Yeah.
So, but it's good to know that you'll be up there.
Yep. Yeah, we're excited to talk to you.
Hey, can I do one more awkward thing? Just
why
because,
stop now?
Just one more?
Well, I mean, I know I've been recording naked, but I just beyond that. I just want to say that, again, we've talked a lot about the beer, the events, and all that. But it's just such a full suite of things, and unfortunately, I can't get Rich over here, but I do have Lindsay over here to my right. Can I just have her say a quick hi? Lindsay is our social media kind of guru liaison, and she just does a top-notch job. I just wanted to kind of say hi, and if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit, just 10 seconds, maybe 15.
Say hi
15,
to mom, you know, about whatever.
Kind of what the brew hall means to you.
Oh, jeez. What a setup.
Well, to start out. Hi, Mom. I'm having a blast doing everything with the Brew Hall. We have so much fun. All the events we do always turn out great. We love giving back to the community and having a lot of people out here giving back to everything.
Well, what's your favorite beer?
My favorite beer right now is Magic Feather. We just put it on tap, Thursday?
Thursday.
And it's amazing. It's like dessert in a glass. It's awesome.
And I have to ask though, real quick. How much of a nightmare is it when they keep naming things Banana Hammock and other stuff from a social media standpoint?
You know, I haven't gotten much feedback yet. I'm sure people are worried to post that on their own their own personal pages to ask questions on the banana hammock, but I'm waiting for it. I think I'll let Ryan handle those.
Well, you'll get flagged on your Google searches and
let's,
Google
let's
Analytics.
Let's just say that it's good that Lindsay's here and not Ryan's wife, because she would give him your phone.
No, it's just, you know, the names are meant to be fun. You know, yeah. Lindsay, yeah. Thank you.
And
thanks
memorable.
For putting you on the spot.
You don't forget them, that's for sure.
It's just, they're random, and it's just, again, it was one that was stumbled upon. It was kind of cute and easy. So
you send the feds your $40 or $50, and you move on,
exactly.
Right?
Well, yeah, $45. That's exactly $45
right. $45 well spent, right?
And it was amazing that it was available.
Yeah. It was good. It was very good. All the beer this week. Congratulations, both you guys, for
thank you.
Mostly
thanks
Ben.
So much.
Mostly Ben, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Congratulations for having this week come together, where you had so many different beer releases come together. Fun event, full house today.
Yes.
Love visiting you guys. Glad to have glad that you guys would have us out again, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
You know, on the flip side, I mean, being very sincere and honest, you know, you guys have been super cool. Your passion on, you know, reaching out to, you know, new breweries, established breweries, whatever it is, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because I'm really, it's, you know, you guys are doing a great job. So thank you very much for giving us the time this afternoon. So thank you.
Appreciate that.
Oh, we appreciate it.
I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Yep.
Take cheers. Care.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Hey, it's Andrew Burns with a style of the week that is all about the craze for haze, because we're talking about the New England IPA, the NEIPA. This is a beer that can be traced almost to the source, the original brewery, to start going into that. And this is a brewery called The Alchemist in Vermont. And that's where we get the name New England from. And it's from that brewery that this craze for this particular kind of IPA spread across the country. What makes a New England IPA a New England IPA is two words, hazy and juicy. The haziness and the juiciness both come from hops. It is a very heavily hopped beer, but it's a fantastic beer to learn about the difference between hoppiness and bitterness. Even though there's a lot of hops in it, those hops give juicy, citrusy flavors, but not a lot of bitterness. So it's a softer, easier drinking IPA that has full, juicy hop flavor without as much bitterness. Now, the other characteristic of this beer is the use of oats or wheat to lend it a sort of a soft, fluffy mouthfeel. In fact, that's part of why it pours so hazy. Now, some of the best New England IPAs might look like a glass of orange juice, but really the taste is all about juicy American hops.
Going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to the folks at Shakopee Brew Hall for hosting us. I'm sure we had a great time, but we record this beforehand, but we always have a good time, and we've had those guys on the show before, so they treat us right. I hope we met a lot of new friends today. I'm sure we did.
Yeah, there's that one guy that we met. He was awesome.
Carl, Ronnie, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guy that hangs around Shakopee, right? Carl, yeah. Or Ronnie. Hopefully that's not a fun, but those are real names.
Oh, yeah.
That works. So, no, I'm sure we're having a good time there. Maybe we're still having a good time. Who knows? A week later, we might be still having a good time. So thanks to those guys. We look forward to coming back here in 2 weeks. We'll be here June 23rd on KYMN Radio 95 to 1 at 11 a.m. with Reed's Landing Brewing Company, a fun little venture out in Reed's Landing, Minnesota. For those who don't know, it's just south of Red Wing, maybe a half hour or so. It's a brew pub that has new ownership in the last year. So we talked to Carl and Kent, and that's going to be a great conversation. Get to hear all about their food, their beer, the Eagles. Oh my, the Eagles. not the band, the birds. They like to hang around Reed's Landing, and there's lots of nice visuals there. It's a great drive. I know you and Steph took it recently, and you do, you know, quite often.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a fun way to get in the car and go south or come north, depending on which way you go. We like to do kind of a little round trip down the Wisconsin border and come back to Minnesota or the other way around, depending on the day. And it's a great way to get out and enjoy the day.
So that's going to be 11 a.m. June 23rd. If you're listening on the radio, that's 95.1 FM. If you're not listening on the radio, you can listen to us anytime after that day for that show with Reed's Landing. We'll be on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're probably there. If they're not, you should let them know they should have us. Most of those places pull in from iTunes anyway. We've had to do some of individual submissions like we talked about on the last show. We end up on iHeartRadio without any confirmation. I just looked one day, I'm like, hey, they did accept us. So it's good to be accepted. So you can find us there on those podcast platforms, or you can just go to our website. It's probably the easiest way to do it, actually, because then you can see all the shows we've had, and you can pick your device of choice, your platform of choice. That's ontapnorfield.com. You can see all the prior shows pretty easily. You get all the proper links to go visit these breweries that you want to see what they're up to after you hear about them on our show. And then other good places to follow us are Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook has all our upcoming guests, so if you look there today, June 9, you'll see in 2 weeks, hey, Reed's Landing is going to be on. After that, there's some other fun shows coming up, and then I'll be filling that out through the summer. Actively planning through the fall right now. I've got a tentative list through next spring. I don't know if I've shown you that yet, but just don't roll your eyes. I know you want to on the inside, but you know, as we've said in the show before, I like to plan ahead. I want to make sure this stuff's in order because we both have things going on elsewhere. So Facebook's a good place to check out if you want to see who's going to be on the show. We've got some really cool guests coming up. We're going to be hanging out with Cannon Bell's Cheese out in Cannon Falls. At the Tillian Brewery, we're going to do some pairings with them, so that's going to be kind of a fun show. We've got some festivals we're going to be visiting here in the summer, so those are things to look forward to. We won't, you know, let the cat out of the bag on those ones yet because we're still working out some of the details, but I think next show we'll be able to talk about at least one of them, not both of them. And Twitter, that's a good place to follow us. We do a lot of our retweets and stuff like that, but we also post shows on there. Instagram is probably a good place to hang out. We like to do photos on there. We've kind of been lax on that lately. Maybe we haven't been out as much lately, but
maybe we'll do that today.
Maybe we'll do that today or a week ago if you're listening to this live, which, you know, either way, this was a week ago by the time you heard this. So I think that's it, right? Did we cover everything?
I think so.
Do we got any bills to pay, anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but
all right. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Cheers.